I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from there.
Yo. And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. Coming straight from the side, going down right here. Audio Shop Talk going right into your ear hole, brought to you by yours truly, your mother's boyfriend. My name is Joseph Ward. That's what my mama named me, and that's who I be. Hey man, it's finna be a great show today. I've been drinking, and it's finna go all the way down. Where my harmonica at? Going down. Right on up. What you know? Going down. Nah, I'm wilding. I know. I'm having a little fun. I don't care. I'm having a little fun. I'm in Florida, and Hurricane Michael about to come through Wednesday night. So I said, I'm going to have me some fun on this podcast, because Hurricane Michael trying to come through and mess everything up. So I might as well go ahead and get it in. So with that being said, I may or may not have my Friday show, depending on what happened with Hurricane Michael. So if I don't have my Friday show, remember, it's Hurricane Michael's fault. So everybody say, fuck Hurricane Michael. There you go. But you know, the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go through the African History book series, the blog series, the YouTube channel, the African History Curriculum app, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, as well as lectures, educational classes, keynote speakings, hosting events and dropping knowledge, you know, digital or in person. We got you. Smart boards, smart TVs, smartphones, smart tablets, smart people, or always in your face. All you got to do is visit www.ontheshoulders1.com or www.ontheshoulders.org to learn more about On the Shoulders of Giants, myself, because that's my organization, myself. And remember, my third book is coming out, On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 3, South America, where I'm profiling 12 people, 12 unsung heroes, and one culture of people, the Juca people. And remember, if you get Volume 3, you might as well go ahead and get Volume 1 and 2. Volume 1, North America. Volume 2, Central America. Volume 3, South America. Volume 4, the Caribbean. Volume 5, Africa. Volume 6, Europe. Volume 7, Australia. Volume 8, Asia. Volume 9, South Pacific. Then who knows where we go from there. www.ontheshoulders1.com, www.ontheshoulders.org. So let me get you, go ahead and give you this rundown of what we're going to talk about today up here on this Fix Sports Podcast. You heard me? You feel me? You heard me? So in our HBCU spotlight, we got Virginia Union. They hung 90 points on Lincoln University. Yeah, they dropped. They ain't just dropped nuts on them. They dropped dick and babies on them. So Jemele Hill said, fuck you, ESPN. She's not working for LeBron James and other outlets. So she out here winning, living her best life. She ain't going back and forth with ESPN.
Right.
Our homeboy Tiger Woods got to win. Well, he y'all homeboy. He ain't really my homeboy like that. But, you know, Tiger Cole, he's like the white porn star. Tiger kind of like. But Tiger got to win, so we're going to talk about that because we're excited that Tiger got to win. The Carolina Panthers signed Eric Reed, and Eric Reed, I love it because he's still taking knees. Even on the new team, he's taking knees. Eric Reed, one of the realest. Fans can now purchase the fourth quarter NBA games on the NBA League Pass. We're going to talk about that. Our off-topic shit is Brett Kavanaugh. He's voted into the Supreme Court, even though he's a pussy cracker. They voted him in anyway. We'll talk about some college football. Talk about the MLB playoff race. A LSU athlete was gunned down during a fight. So we're going to talk about that. And our weekly rant going to the aftermath of the Habib-Conor McGregor fight. After Habib, originally I was going to give it to just Habib, but I'm going to give it to Conor McGregor and Habib because of things that led up to the fight and everything after the fight. So we got to talk about that weekly rant. But I ain't mad at Habib. So it's mostly going to Conor McGregor. Fuck Conor McGregor, right? So let's jump on the HBCU spotlight, right? So the headline says Virginia Union punishes Lincoln 90-0. Well, of course, you know, I got to put my own spin on it. So Virginia Union dropped their dick on Lincoln for 90 points. 90-0. How do you get beat 90-0? Like, come on, B. 90-0. 90 points. And you don't score 1 point? You don't score 1 point. Come on, man. Come on. Kawhi Leonard, how you feel about that? I know, right? You know my dog, Kawhi, man. Kawhi. Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell y'all. Kawhi Leonard is now a part of the show. So, hey, that laugh funny as hell, man. Hold on. Kawhi, where you at? All right. There would be no homecoming letdown in Richmond on Saturday. Virginia Union dominated Lincoln from the start to finish, setting several new offensive records in a 90-0 win. Running back Tobias Taylor led the way with 235 rushing yards and also added 3 touchdowns on just 23 touches. He averaged better than a 10 yards per carry average. I mean, I said average again. He averaged better than 10 yards per carry. How the hell you give up 10 yards per carry to one running back? I can see the team as a total average 10 yards per carry. That's still a lot, but one player average 10 yards per carry? Sheesh. So it also says here are 4 other numbers that show how dominant the Panthers were over the Lions on Saturday. 949, Virginia Union rushed for the most yards in school history, topping the 490 mark is set in 2009. So they rushed for 494 yards. 12 total touchdowns. They scored 12 total touchdowns. Well, hell, they had to. They got 90 points, right? Shit. Hey, that's they're going to get 90 points. Scoring 12 touchdowns. But just when you say it, they scored 12 touchdowns. 9 players scored and 9 total rushing touchdowns were accumulated, both new records. 9 players scored, 9 total rushing touchdowns. 1916 was the last time Virginia Union scored more points than it did on Saturday. That was against St. Paul. So now Virginia Union is 4-1 on the year. So they improved their record to 4-1. They scored 90 points, 9 players scored, and they had 9 total rushing touchdowns and 12 total touchdowns of 494 rushing yards. Oh, man, Kawhi, how you feel about that? Right. So from here at the Fix Sports Podcast to Virginia Union and all the players who dropped their nuts on Lincoln on Saturday. We got to give it up. We got to give it up. We got to give it up, B. Virginia Union. Virginia Union. Virginia Union. Virginia Union. They got some corn. They dropped them points. Virginia Union ain't about that bull, son. And they come in the game. They gon' make that thing sing. They dropping points. They dropping points. So that is our HBCU spotlight. Hey, Kawhi, you a wild boy. You a wild boy. You a wild boy, Kawhi. So go ahead. Let's get into these stories. So Jemele Hill is not working for LeBron James and other outlets, right? So also The Atlantic. And the headline is, The Atlantic follows LeBron's lead by hiring Jemele Hill to talk sports and politics. So Jemele Hill dropping her nuts. You know what I'm saying? So to speak, on ESPN. In a Monday article with The Hollywood Reporter by James Andrew Miller, a man who at all times knows what's going on at ESPN, precisely an hour after anyone cares, former ESPN personality Jemele Hill officially announced her plans for the future. Seeing as the check, as the chicken check. What? I thought I'm about to read this wrong, but this is right. Seeing as the chicken shits who run her old shop have been made afraid of anything that could be characterized. Well, I lost my spot. I'm sorry. They said chicken shits. That could be characterized with the dreaded P word, political, her defined as anything that isn't reflectively white and male in outlook by disingenuous dum-dums trying to make a buck by pretending ESPN becomes more and more like provider every time it hires a black person to call highlights. It's the only natural. It was only natural that Hill, our racist government least favorite sports center anchor, would decide that her talents would be better served elsewhere. That was wonderfully written. That was wonderfully written. Chicken shit. Anybody who put chicken shit in the sentence, that was wonderfully written. Oh, man. There you go. The highest profile of Hill's new gigs and her job as a staff writer for The Atlantic, a fantasy publication that hosts Thinkfluencer events and runs stories about people who want to have sex with guns. Okay. What? The fuck did I just read? As The Atlantic's editor-in-chief Jeffrey Goldberg put it, Hill's written work is work that is expected to be located at the intersection of sports, race, and politics. This is fairly a logical move. After all, before she was the celebrated talking head tweeter, she's primarily known as today. Hill was a real deal journalist, right? She's a real journalist. She was just one of them motherfucking sports motherfuckers, right? It's true that Hill's star only really began to shine as bright as it is now once she stepped away from the keyboard and into the camera. Into the camera's line of sight. In this moment of social and political turmoil, though it makes a lot of sense for the magazine with trappings of prestige and with itness. But without much work worthy of these trappings, to hire a person who clearly has her finger on the pulse of what's going on and bet that it'll all come together on the page. Aside from the rationale with the Atlantic constantly stepping on ranks and getting smashed in the face with high-profile blunders in matters of race, gender, and representation, signing a name as big as Hill's could do a lot to help the magazine seem or perhaps even be more vital and less fucked up than it is. Two birds, one stone. There you go. I just put the word fucked up because I couldn't say that other word, so fuck it. Still, one aspect of Hill's career has been revealed in the Hollywood Reporter article was icky enough to bring the whole affair into question. The offending paragraphs don't appear until close to the bottom of THR's article. Yeah. Whatever that means. I lost my damn plate. But anyway, Jemele Hill with The Atlantic and with LeBron, and she's not tripping by not being with ESPN no more. She's found work. ESPN fucked up. They, like I told y'all before, they, and you already know, they took Jemele Hill and Michael Smith from his and hers show, put them on SportsCenter at 6 o'clock, and told them not to nigger it up. Told them to nigger it up, but not to nigger it up. Right. But then when Jemele Hill and Michael Smith felt restrained by ESPN, Jemele left first and Michael fell in line. And Jemele was the most outspoken, especially, you know, her Twitter rants. We've talked about it on the show. Her, not Twitter rants, but her tweets about Trump and his fuckboyness. So after she left ESPN, I know some people probably thought she was going to be hurt, but she, Jemele, that's Jemele Hill. Better get your mind right. That's your man here. So she worked with LeBron and she worked with The Atlantic. And if anybody got a problem with it, you catch these hands. That's all I'm gonna say. But I still wanna have a conversation with Jemele about why she felt it was necessary to retweet the tweet of that boy Damon who said that black men, Damon said that straight black men are the white men of the black community. Which is bullshit, but I still want to have that conversation with her why she felt that that particular tweet was necessary to be retweeted. Hey, y'all, I like somebody, but I'm going to come back to that. But yeah. Jemele Hill, though, man. I'm proud of her. I'm proud that she's not soft. I like Jemele. I don't have to agree with everything somebody do to like them. Jemele got moxie. I like that. I like that, Jemele. We can kick it. Me and Jemele can kick it. We can talk sports. We can sit back through all that. I like Jemele, but I you know, that's just that one thing, you know. But other than that, Jemele got moxie. I fucks with Jemele here, man. So I'm glad that she got that she wasn't just sitting around being crazy or feeling like she needed ESPN. I'm glad she had a plan and she worked it out. So. Anytime you feel like you want to get away from Massa, man, she got your shit together. Live skilled and live fulfilled. There you go. There you go. So one time for Jemele Hellion. Found new work with LeBron and the Atlantic dog. So goddamn Tiger Woods got a win. Tiger Woods got a win, y'all. Tiger Woods got a win, y'all. Tiger Woods got a win, y'all. Hey, Tiger Woods got a win. Okay. It wasn't the tap in or ensuing raised arm from Tiger Woods that signaled of the unbelievable just occurred. Not that secretly said, okay, not that security said, the hell with it, allowing thousands of fans to march with him down the 18th fairway to a defending ovation that gave anyone with the pulse goosebumps. I'm talking about booze gumps. What the fuck is a booze gump? Now, if you're talking, you mix your words, you switch the letters up to my booze gumps. Goosebumps. I'd be wild. No, it was over when the sign bearers charged with carrying the roaming scoreboard inside the ropes, exchanging high fives after Tiger's par putt on the 17th disappeared. They are supposed to be stoic sign bearers to do their duty with impartiality. That way, bye-bye, the moment Tiger save, send that boom across East Lake, across the sport. Not that anyone cared. Who could be stoic at a moment like this? This is crazy, said Jack, one of the sign bearers, echoed Cameron, the other. There are so many people never seen anything close to this. Neither has golf. Who else do you explain the How else do you explain the unexplainable? Tiger Woods, 42 years old, removed from so many surgeries and cleanups, he gets his next one free, a champion again on the PGA Tour. The Tiger that missed 2 years worth of majors and claimed he might be done with competitive golf, that Tiger, the one and only. It's certainly up there with obviously all the major championships I've won, Players, World Golf Championships. But this is under different circumstances, Wood said, fighting back tears. You know, I've explained throughout the year that I just don't know whether when this would ever happen again. If I could somehow piece the, piece together a golf swing this year. I felt like I could do it. My hands are good enough, and I just don't know if I could piece together a golf swing. But somehow, I've been able to do that, and goddamn it, here we are. He didn't say goddamn it, I asked back for a little flipper. But I haven't been able to do that, but goddamn it, here we are. To be fair, the victory had been coming into focus. The near misses in Innsbruck and Bay Hill, and the other one I can't say, the charge at Belvery, would show he had the firepower, only a matter of cylinders firing on the, at the same time. Atlanta proved to be that confluence. Tiger shook off an opening bogey on Thursday to shoot 65, earning the share of the lead thanks to a marvelous display of shot making. Friday was an exercise in grit, overcoming a wayward driver to grind out a 68, staying atop the leaderboard. Saturday's round went right into the Hall of Fame, opening with 6 birdies and 7 holes to set up the spectacular. And on Sunday, Woods didn't disappoint. He got his red shirt on.
Oh, shit!
Following a raucous welcome to the first tee, Tiger found the fairway some 292 yards from the box. Playing partner Rory McIlroy's drive was farther, but Woods paid it no heed. That's something that couldn't have been said earlier this year, with Tiger trying to keep up with the likes of Rory, Justin Thomas, Jason Day. He's learned to control himself off the tee, and it's paid dividends in the second shot prowess. Evident on the next shot, Woods putting his approach to 10 feet while McIlroy, some 30 yards ahead, barely found the green. McIlroy had a nice two putt for par. He wasn't going to cut it in a day like this, not when fans were crawling up trees to catch a fleeting glance of a legend. Woods rolled in the birdie and turned the crowd volume up to 10. That's the crowd rules. A couple of guys thought someone hold out on number one, Woods smiled. It was just me making the putt. The lead is now 4. Woods followed with 8 consecutive pars, which may convey a routine workmanlike trick. The latter is partially true, not so much former. Nothing but the scene that engulfed Woods on Sunday, said routine. The madnesses that follow Woods have often been described as a circus. Please, the Ringling brothers wish they had this tournament. Fans packed the Georgia property, hooting and hollering as Woods made his way around the course, but roaring at his good shots. Treated sensible lags like fairway holes. Any sign of a misstep, they were there to pick him up with shouts of encouragement. Spectators were 12 to 15 deep in each direction, gaining in loudness as the day went on. Even as Tiger's peak dominance, he won the Even at Tiger's peak dominance, he won the 2007 Tour Championship by 8 strokes at 23 under. It was never like this at East Lake. Now would be a good time to be a thief, a marshal told me on the third green, because everyone in town is here. That's funny. So basically, in a nutshell, Tiger did the damn thing. Tiger Woods. Now, what's so live about this thing with Tiger, though, is I know for me personally, I don't know about nobody else, but I'm just talking about me for Joseph Ward right now. We're talking about overcoming adversity and keep pushing. Even when shit don't seem like it's going to work out, you keep pushing. Even when you keep fucking losing, you keep pushing. Even when it just feel like, why the fuck am I doing this? You keep pushing. You keep going. Because only the realists keep going. Only the real. That's how you become a legend. You have to keep going. Shit going to be fucked up sometimes. It's not going to happen for you all the time. Matter of fact, you might lose more than you win. Like, we're talking about Tiger was in a funk. Tiger wasn't talking about nothing since he got his ass whooped. Tiger ain't been talking about nothing for a while. My man thought about quitting, not my man, like he my homeboy. No, I'm just saying that, you know, colloquially, you know what I'm saying? So, my man thought about quitting. He thought about giving it up. He wasn't winning. He was coming as he kept going, he was coming closer and closer and closer. You could see it. Tiger was coming closer. And finally, Tiger was able to put the tip in and bust through. But it just, for me personally, it's just, you got to find a way to keep going. You got to dig deep. You got to keep pushing. Even though when it don't seem like it's happening for you, you got to keep pushing. Even though when shit don't seem right, you got to keep pushing. Even though if you ain't getting no support, you got to keep pushing. Even though you losing, you got to keep pushing. You by yourself. You grinding. You frustrated. You got tears in your eyes. You bloody. You tired. You have no idea the hell is happening next. But all you know is I got to keep going. Because if I don't keep going, I will never know what my final outcome could be. If I don't keep going, then I'm soft. I'm a bitch. This is what I tell myself. Right? Because as I told you before, Colonel Sanders got turned down 1,000 times. 1,000 times. On 1,000 the first time, he got that yes. Ain't no way in hell Colonel Sanders tougher than me. Ain't no way in hell. No way in hell Colonel Sanders tougher than me. Mental, emotional, psychological, spiritual, physical toughness. It's what you need to make it in this world. And just reading this, it just made me think. I'm proud of Tiger. We happy Tiger won. Matter of fact, man in the little shirt, get up off your motherfucking feet. Right, get up off y'all feet and show Tiger some love. Tiger motherfucking Woo. Tiger Woods, man. Y'all don't understand. I was born in the 80s. So, I'm old enough to have been watching Tiger from the get, out the gate, from rip, when he straight jumped off the porch. Tiger first started. When Tiger first started playing golf, that's when I started watching golf. That's when most black people start watching golf. The Tiger started playing golf. To see Tiger from where he was to the fall he took. Now this isn't his first win, but this is a significant win for Tiger. Hat goes off to Tiger Woods, man. Proud of you for getting your win. But you still can't leave them white girls alone. Tiger ain't learned his lesson. Still, at least your daddy got an Asian. You can't leave them white girls alone. I don't know what it is, but Tiger can't leave them white girls alone. But anyway, though. Good win, Tiger Woods. Now, time for the real portion. Well, let me rephrase that. Time for the portion. I'm going to call this segment, That's Why You the Realest. That's the name of this segment. That's Why You the Realest. Eric Reed, That's Why You the Realest. So, ex-San Francisco 49ers safety Eric Reed. And, of course, you heard me talk about this before. You heard everybody talk about this before, right? Eric Reed, he was either cut or released by the San Francisco 49ers. And he really didn't get signed until week 4 or 5 by the Carolina Panthers. Nobody was signing him. Eric finally got signed by the Panthers. And the first chance he took a knee. Well, the first chance he got, rather, he took a knee on the sideline. Real nigga shit. Right. So somebody got hurt for the Panthers, and they end up signing Reed. They upgraded their secondary, in my opinion. So, Carolina Panthers announced Thursday that they have signed safety Eric Reed, the second player to kneel during the national anthem after Colin Kaepernick, to a one-year contract. Reed, who was 26, became a free agent this offseason after 5 years with San Francisco 49ers. He was the first player to protest the national anthem alongside Kaepernick in 2016. Demonstrations that they and others have described as a means of protesting police brutality and racial inequality. Panthers general manager Marty Herney told USA Today Sports Jared Bell that the team never asked Reed whether he would continue to protest. This was a football decision. Signing a player who can help us win games, Herney said. In the earliest statement announcing the moves, Herney said Reeves would bring vital help in the secondary after the unit was struck by injury. Eric has been a startling safety in the NFL and has played at a high level throughout his career, Herney said in a statement. After we put safety Denoyer Searcy on injured reserve, Ron Rivera and I discussed our options, and Eric was at the top of our list. Yes, he is a physical safety with good ball skills and playmaking ability. You just upgraded your secondary. I just told you that. Reed, like Kaepernick, has also filed a grievance against the NFL, alleging that the league owners had colluded to keep him out of the NFL and with his decision to protest. They still do got a case, because now the Carolina Panthers have a new owner, because it was no secret that the old owner was part of that. Hell, he was a sexual predator, right? So Mark Garagos, Reed's lawyer, told USA Today Sports in a text message that Reed's collusion case in the NFL would proceed. Hell yeah, it should. Miami Dolphins wide receiver Kenny Seals had cited Reed's availability as one of the reasons why he continues to kneel during the anthem. He said earlier this month that he would consider stopping if Reed and Kaepernick were signed. Carolina Panthers wide receiver Torrey Smith, who played alongside Kaepernick and Reed in San Francisco, had called on the Panthers to add Reed earlier this week after Searcy on IR. I think we all know why he hasn't received a call, Smith told reporters on Tuesday. In a CNBC interview 2 weeks ago, the Panthers owner David Tepper defended players who protested during the anthem. These are some of the most patriotic people and best people, Tepper said when asked about players who demonstrated. These are great young men, so to say that they aren't patriotic makes me so aggravated and angry. It's just wrong. It's dead wrong. See, this is new. Remember that. Reed started 69 games in 5 seasons with the 49ers, registering 246 tackles and 10 interceptions. The Panthers have a bye this week, but Reed could make the season debut next week against the Giants. And that was this past Sunday, and he did make his season debut. So one time for Eric Reed, our hat goes off to Eric Reed. Matter of fact, Eric Reed, since he's so real, you know, he getting them hands up. Eric. Eric Reed. So one time for E. Reed getting signed by the Panthers. Like I said, Panthers have upgraded their secondary. Oh, yeah. So fans can now purchase the fourth quarter of NBA games on League Pass. Let's let Darren Power, Rovell, the ESPN senior writer, break this down for us. The NBA internal broadcasting announced on Thursday that fans can, for the first time, purchase a portion of an in-progress game to watch. Fans will be able to purchase the remainder of any out-of-market game on League Pass once the buzzer sounds to end the third quarter. The price will initially be $1.99, whether the fan buys it at the start of the quarter, or to watch the last 30 seconds. It's a big moment, but it's also a small first step. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver told ESPN on Thursday,
There are limitations in the technology right now, but we're working as quickly as possible, said, but at some point in the near future, fans can choose to buy any part of any game. By December, the league plans to give fans the option of buying viewing rights by the start of each quarter for a yet-to-be-disclosed price. We imagine a situation where fans has dinner at 8 o'clock and only has 30 minutes and can choose to buy a half hour a game, Sipper said. The league also plans on eventually selling packages of 10 minutes of real-time game action. The price for a full game through either Turner's B&R Live on NBA.com or the NBA app still costs $6.99. Not only will fans want to potentially purchase pieces of games, so too might gamblers, Silver acknowledged. For example, a bettor who has money on the first half of the game may only be interested in watching that span. While prices will initially be uniform across all games based on when a game is purchased, Silver said, the league has ruled out dynamically pricing games based on the matchup, just like our teams do with their tickets. The larger NBA League Pass options include the whole season of games for $200 and an in-arena add-on for another $50. Fans can also buy League Pass for a specific team for $120 or by the month for $18. So, they're finding a way to monetize this game after punishing people so long for trying to make money off the game. So when they finally found a way to make money off the game, they're like, oh, man, you know, we didn't really remember none of that other stuff you were talking about. I mean, we did it, but you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? They were being it, dog. You know what I'm saying, dog? But you know, dog, this shit legal, though, dog. You know what I'm saying, dog? What you mean? Dog. Dog, you ain't paying that much money, dog. You already been, dog. So you might as well keep betting, dog. Keep it this way, dog, so we can get that money, dog. Because if we don't get that money, dog, and y'all betting, dog, then we ain't really betting, dog. But if we getting that money and you betting, then we betting. Because when y'all were doing it, y'all was just betting. But it's betting. Now, you know what I'm talking about, dog? You know what I'm saying, dog? This is the NBA, dog. We bet, dog. We bet, dog. You know what I'm saying? Y'all just out there regular flipping quarters and shit, dog. Nah, dog. Let me get some of that money, dog. How you gonna bet on NBA games, dog? Don't give NBA no money, dog. What you mean? Y'all tripping, dog. It ain't no fun if the NBA can't have none, dog. It don't mean a thing if we can't get that change, dog. You know what I'm talking about? Bruh, I'm just, as your homeboy, the NBA, dog, as your homeboy, all I'm saying is, if you betting and we ain't getting money, it's illegal. But if you betting and you giving us some of the money, it's legal. You know what I'm saying, dog? Nah, you don't feel me, dog? But you gonna see me though, dog. You ain't got to feel me though, dog. We the NBA, dog. You know what I'm saying? We doing this shit, dog. We doing this shit, dog. So, you know what I mean? You ain't got to feel me, but you gonna see me though, dog. We getting the money, dog. Appreciate it. Keep betting, dog. Keep betting. Keep hating the side. It's going down. It's going all the way down, B. All the way down, B. I'm talking about not all the way, but all the way down, B. It's going all the way down, B. I'm telling you, dog. We getting money, B. Oh, for you, if you want to give it to us or not, B, we getting money, B. Because it don't mean a thing. We ain't getting that change. Do-wop, 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 do-wop. What that might be? NBA full of shit, man. NBA straight full of shit. Betting's illegal until we learn how to monetize off. Once we learn how to monetize off of this betting, then, only then, betting is okay. But until then, betting is bad. Fuck out of here, NBA. Y'all ain't tricking no. Man, you know what I'm saying? It's all on y'all now. It's all good. It's what y'all do. Do what you do, though. Put your hands in the hands of the man who steal the water, right? Put your hands in the hands of the man from Galilee take a look at yourself and realize your health and come on back to see by putting your hands in the hands of the man. I forgot the rest of the song, but you know, y'all watch Family Matters. There it is. NBA. Kawhi. You heard that? You heard the NBA? Kawhi. I know you heard that. Kawhi. What you feel? How you feel, Kawhi? Oh, that shit funny, dog. Oh, that shit. That's funny, boy. That's fine. So, yeah. All right. Now it's time for our off-topic shit segment. You know, our off-topic shit segment is always something that's not necessarily sports, but still impact the culture as a whole. Old pussy, rapey Brett Kavanaugh is now down with the Supreme Court. He was sworn in as Supreme Court justice. He got that. He got that 50-48. Yeah, he got that 50-48 vote. Pussy ass people, man. So they had to have. Somebody fucking sucks. Kavanaugh probably done ate somebody ass on there. Ate some dude ass on there or something like that. And they got something on them because ain't no way in hell. Like they act like Buddy was like the only dude that they could put on them. And they were fighting hard for Buddy. You know what I'm saying? So it has to be something that they had on Kavanaugh or something like that, because you can't tell me that's the only dude that they could get. Man, if y'all tell me that, you saying people are going to pee on me and tell me that it's raining rain. So Kavanaugh had to eat somebody's ass. He didn't eat somebody's ass up there. And they like, or somebody ate his ass or something like that. Yeah, that's more like it. Somebody ate his ass. Like one of the men up there, they got a little too frisky in one of them little parties they be having. And they ran up behind Kavanaugh and started kissing him on his ear. Hey, Brent. Shit's in a flashlight in my pants. And Brent Kavanaugh over and started eating his ass or something like that. So, and Kavanaugh was like, well, you know, shit, I'm trying to be on that Supreme Court, though. So if you don't let me on the Supreme Court, I'm going to tell everybody you ate my ass. And other dude looking at him like, oh, shit. He going to tell everybody I got the ass lipped. No. Okay, though. Okay. I'm going to do everything I got to do, though. I'm going to do everything I got to do. Everything I got to do to get you on the Supreme Court, dog, because I don't want to know what doing. I got the ass lip. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, dog. Oh, my God. Oh, shit. I got the ass lip. Mama, I got the ass lips. Right. So, dude got the ass lips, right? So, Kavanaugh was like, you know what I'm saying? Kavanaugh was like, hey, man, look. This is how I get down. I want the Supreme Court. And if you don't want people to know that you eat ass, especially my ass, you gotta let me out. I know I got a weird, twisted sense of humor, but hey. So let me read this. This is from CNN. The Senate voted to send Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court on Saturday, ushering in a generational conservative majority and delivering a huge victory to President Donald Trump after a vicious confirmation battle inflamed by allegations of sexual assault against the nominee, which I pretty much believe Dr. Ford, the way she was conducting herself and all everything. Kavanaugh, to me, is a sexual predator who should be locked up along with his fuckboy homeboy, Donald fuck-ass Trump. As shrieks of shame, shame, shame echoed from the public galleries, divided the angry senator voted. Senators voted 50-48 to endorse a lifetime seat to the court for Kavanaugh, who was a horrible motherfucker. The protests undiscovered the vital importance of an appointment that will have sweeping consequences for some of the nation's most contested disputes over abortion LGBT rights, the scope of presidential power, and the role of religion in society. Hours later, Kavanaugh was sworn in at a private ceremony at the Supreme Court by Chief Justice John Roberts and the men he would replace, retired Justice Anthony Kennedy. They should have swung on his ass. Outside, a crowd of noisy protesters gathered and was eventually pushed back from the ornate building steps by the police. The bitter fight over Kavanaugh now moves into the epicenter of the campaign for the midterm elections in November. Republicans are convinced it will motivate their sleepy base. Okay. Democrats believe a backlash against the GOP from women voters can help deliver the House of Representatives, and the nature of the fight over Kavanaugh will trigger recriminations inside the Senate and political reverberations outside for years to come. In the end, Republicans were able to use their stranglehold on Capitol Hill and the White House to muscle through the confirmation of a power play that reflected the momentous importance of Trump's 2016 election victory over Hillary Clinton. Still, it was close. It was a close-run thing. Kavanaugh's nomination was nearly derailed by Christine Blasey Ford's allegation that the judge assaulted her and there were teenagers in the 1980s, which sparked uproar and forced Republicans to delay the confirmation vote for a week to allow time for supplemental FBI background check. Man, that fuckboy did it. Trump took a victory, allegedly that fuckboy did. Okay. Trump took a victory lap before an enthusiastic crowd at a rally in Topeka, Kansas on what he held as a historic night for Trump. It's some girl telling him his thing ain't small. I stand before you today on the heels of a tremendous victory for our nation, our people. Oh, this Trump. Hold on. I stand before you today on the heels of tremendous victory for our nation, our people, and our beloved Constitution. He dismissed the allegations against Kavanaugh by accusing Democrats of waging a shameless campaign of political and personal destruction, says the sexual predator. Hey, look, what am I looking at? Okay. Democrats furiously accused the GOP of short-circuiting efforts to examine Ford's allegations and of rushing the nomination through while ignoring the changed political dynamics surrounding complaints of misconduct against powerful men ushered in by the Me Too movement. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer called the nomination one of the saddest moments in the history of the Senate. He said, "This chapter will be a flashing red warning light of what to avoid, especially because this motherfucker got a lifetime seat." Republicans conducted one of the least transparent, least fair, most biased processes in Senate history, slanting the table from the very beginning to produce their dire result, he added. That's what Chuck Schumer said. So, but you know, all in all, Kavanaugh so fast is in the Senate, got a lifetime seat. I mean, not the Senate, my dumbass, the Supreme Court. He's a Supreme Court justice. He got a lifetime seat in the Supreme Court, and, you know, it is what it is. He'll fuck, boy. So, yeah. Black people, we got to get on our shit. Black people, we got to get organized. Black people, we have 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 to get organized. Black people, organization is key. If I don't know if you've been paying attention or not, but a lot of the stuff that we've gained over the years, we're losing. Get your shit together, people. We have to get our shit together. Because if we don't get our shit together, it's going to be over. It's going to be worse now. It's going to be worse now. than it would ever been. It's Trump loading that shit up with all his pussy people. Black folk, get your mind right. What did the sexual predator say to the other sexual predator? Hey, you too can be on the Supreme Court. What did the other sexual predator say to the other sexual predator? Hey, I'm president. So, I said somebody had to eat Kavanaugh's ass or something like that for him to. Because they act like Buddy was the only one that they could go with. We have to have Brett Kavanaugh. What? Don't ask. You just know we have to have Kavanaugh. Not knowing that he ass lips. He ate somebody's ass. He ass lips over here. Don't worry about why we need Kavanaugh. We just need Kavanaugh. Yeah, because if you don't get Kavanaugh, you're going to tell everybody you ate his ass. So, yeah, I mean, so that's our off topic shit, man. That's how we go. So, in case you ain't know, now you know Brett Kavanaugh is a lifetime member of the Supreme Court. Whoopee! Thank you all for fucking shit up. They trying to, air quotes, make America great again. All right. Okay. Hey, man, fuck all this stuff. Football is here. Week 6 of football happened, right? So I think it's time for us to get into this and talk about it a little bit. Because week 6 was bad. Some of these games were, you know. So start from the top. You know, I give you scores, you know, the games I was able to watch and stuff I break down to you. So Wyoming beat Hawaii 13-17. I mean, excuse me, Wyoming lost to Hawaii 13-17. Kansas fell to West Virginia and Willie Greer 38-22. And I just need to see how many passing yards Willie G had. So soon as this Pune, okay, I some of Pune working faster. So Will Greer went 28 for 41, 332 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 3 picks. That wasn't great, but they won. They shouldn't have played like that against Kansas. It's got to be more lopsided against Kansas. Western Michigan beat Eastern Michigan 27-24. And the Red River rivalry, Texas jumped out on an early lead. All right, so first quarter. Texas was leading 10, leading 10-7. I didn't get a chance to watch this game because I had to run some errands, wash some clothes, and all types of things. So I kind of missed most of this game, but I didn't really see it. I ain't even gonna lie, but you know, highlights and stuff. All right, so at halftime, Texas is up 24-17. Then Texas explodes in the third quarter, scoring 21 points. Oklahoma only scored 7. But in the fourth quarter, Oklahoma exploded with 21 points, tying the game at 45. But Texas got the ball last, was able to kick a field goal and beat Oklahoma 48-45 in the 2018 Red River rivalry. The number 19 Texas Longhorns, who many people expected to lose to the explosive offense of Oklahoma, because Oklahoma is even playing defense this year. Even playing defense this year in the beginning of the season. But Oklahoma falls to the Texas Longhorns, 48-45. So it makes you wonder, how the hell did Texas lose to Maryland? How? This ain't the same Texas team. But it is. They're both 5-1 in the Big Ten. That's the overall record. Buffalo beat Central Michigan 34-24. East Carolina got their ass whooped by Temple 49-6. Alabama dropped their nuts on Arkansas 65-31, and what we expected to happen with Arkansas dropping the nuts. I mean, for Alabama dropping their nuts on Arkansas. We know what that's going to happen. So Michigan beat Maryland, like they should have, 42-21. Michigan improves to 5-1. Cincinnati beat Tulane 37-21. Northwestern beat Michigan State in an upset win 29-19. You can't lose to Northwestern. Northwestern improved their record to 2-3. Michigan State is that team who's always almost. They got the talent, but they're just always almost. They are the Michigan State are the New York Jets of Big Ten. They're always almost. Always almost. Like you think South Carolina beat Missouri 37-35. Rutgers fell to Illinois 17-38. Syracuse beat they lost to Pittsburgh 44-37. NC State beats Boston College 28-23. Northern Illinois beat Ball State 24-16. Baylor beat Kansas State 37-34. Clemson Wallops Wake Forest 63-3. San Diego State beat Boise State 19-13. Toledo beat Bowling Green 52-36. Iowa over Minnesota 48-31. Air Force beats Navy 35-7. Iowa State beat Oklahoma State 48-42. Miami of Ohio over Akron 41-17. Georgia Southern over South Alabama 48-13. Florida wins the game against LSU 27-19. I watched this game. And Florida's defense showed up. That monstrous defense that Florida always has showed up. Their defense, their running game, and lack of an abundance of turnovers are the things that helped Florida beat LSU. And Florida actually beat LSU on a pick six in the fourth quarter. Defense wins the game, right? So it was like Florida's leading rusher was P. Ryan, had 17 carries, 85 yards, 2 touchdowns. Brossette for LSU had 15 carries, 95 yards, 2 touchdowns. Edwards had 13-55 passing. Felipe Franks, Franks only had one pick. He went 12-27, 161 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 pick. It was pedestrian, but still, you know. Franks ain't no quarterback. So, Florida did what they needed to do. They played defense, was able to run the ball, and didn't turn the ball over in abundance. That's what helped them win the game against LSU. Because if you watch the game, Florida was pretty much in control the whole game. Pretty much. The whole game, Florida was in control. And I never felt at one point during the game that LSU would be able to overtake Florida, especially the way the defense was playing. And the offense helped their defense, but not turn the ball over. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. So, in the rivalry game of the Sunshine State, Florida State Seminoles against the number 17 Miami Hurricanes, and it ended in thrilling fashion with Miami with the 28-27 victory after their second half comeback. Florida State went into the half with a 20-7 lead. Miami scored 14 points in the third quarter, which made it 21-20, but also Florida State scored another touchdown, so that gave them 27 points. And then Miami scored 7 points in the fourth quarter to give them the 27 lead. And from there, it was over. Thrilling game. Thrilling game. Let's look at some of these stats from these games. So, total yards. Miami had 173 pass yards, Florida State 97. That's not good. 102 rush yards, Miami 70 for Florida State. So a total of 275 total yards. 275 yards for Miami, 167 for Florida State. Right. Francois, he went 15 for 30, 129 yards, two touchdowns, and one pick. That's not great. It ain't horrible, but it ain't great. It's closer to horrible than great. The freshman for Miami, Perry, with 13 for 32, 24 yards and four picks. Cam Akers had 11 carries for Florida State, 46 yards. Jacquez Patrick, Florida State, had 10 carries, 31 yards. Homer for Miami had 21 carries, 70 yards, and DJ Dallas had 10 carries, 31 yards. I don't really like Miami's running back. Homer isn't explosive enough. He's strong, but he's not explosive enough. And Dallas isn't a running back to me. Dallas doesn't, neither one of those running backs wow. But, you know, that's the story of the game. Turnovers, too. Miami was forcing turnovers. In the second half, they was forcing turnovers. And those forced turnovers, it was chain time. They brought out the chain. They had a new chain this year. They had the Ibis chain. And it was over, man. Miami over Florida State, 28-27. South Florida beat Massachusetts, 58-42. Ohio beat Kent State, 27-26. New Mexico beat UNLV 50-14. Ole Miss beat UNL Monroe. University of Louisiana Monroe 70-21. Ohio State beat Indiana 49-26. Colorado beat Arizona State. Oh, come on, Herm. 28-21. And Colorado is 5-0. Oh shit. FAU, Florida Atlantic, beat Old Dominion 55-33. Kentucky lost to Texas A&M for their first loss of the year, 20-14. Texas State lost to Louisiana, 42-27. SMU fell to UCF, 48-20. Memphis over Connecticut, 55-14. University of Texas San Antonio tops Rice, 20-3. UAB with the victory over La Tech. Louisiana Tech 28-7, North Texas over UTEP 27-24. Wisconsin beat Nebraska 41-24, and Nebraska is 0-5. Should have stayed in South Florida, Scott Frost. Central Florida, Scott Frost. Should have stayed at UCF.
Georgia beat Vanderbilt 41-13. Mississippi State beat Auburn 23-9. Washington beat UCLA 31-24. Washington State beat Oregon State 56-37. Notre Dame beat Virginia Tech 45-23. New Mexico State beat Liberty 49-41. Utah beat Stanford. Wow. Utah stumped Stanford 40-21. Wow. Colorado State over San Jose State 42-30. Arizona over California 24-17. Fresno State over Nevada 21-3. Georgia Tech over Louisville 66-31. Middle Tennessee State over Marshall 34-24. Houston beats Tulsa 41-26. Troy beats Georgia State 37-20. Utah State over BYU 45-20. And that, my friends, is week 6 of college football. So the MLB playoffs are here. And so the playoffs been going on like motherfucker, huh? So it looked like the National League wild card was Colorado Rockies versus the Cubs. And the Rockies beat the Cubs in the wild card. So they got into the divisional series for the NL. So the divisional series was
the Rockies against the Colorado Rockies against the Milwaukee Brewers. Then the Atlanta Braves against the Dodgers. And the Dodgers beat the Braves 3-1. And the Milwaukee Brewers beat the Colorado Rockies 3-0. So the National League Championship Series is the Dodgers over the Milwaukee Brewers, which the Dodgers have a 2-1 lead. So the AL wild card was the A's and the Yankees. And the Yankees beat the A's to get into the AL Divisional Series, which Boston leads 2-1. Houston won their AL Divisional Series. Houston Astros over the Cincinnati Reds. Yeah, I think it's Cincinnati Reds. Let me make sure. I think it's Cincinnati Reds. I could be wrong. I'm this logo. I don't know. Throwing me off a bit. I don't know. Hold on. Let's say it. I don't know who the hell this is. I'm tripping. I should know who this team is. Anyway, Houston won 3-0. I don't know, that logo throwing me off. I want to say Cincinnati, but no, Cincinnati Reds in the NL. So I'm tripping. That ain't no goddamn Cincinnati Reds. That ain't the Cubs either. Oh, Cleveland. Cleveland Indians. Okay, that's what messed me up. Okay. Because remember, the Cleveland Indians don't have the face of the Indian no more. So, yeah, Cleveland Indians. I ain't really been watching baseball like that. So I know they changed the logo because I covered it, but I ain't really see baseball. So, but anyway, Astros beat the Indians 3-0, and the Yankees and the Red Sox, you know they're going at. So that's the baseball postseason update. So. And some sad news, an LSU basketball player, Wade Sims, fatally shot in the head during fight, officials say. LSU basketball player Wade Sims was just out from taking the court for the Tigers' first official practice of his junior year when he was fatally shot during a fight miles away from camp. Friday was the day LSU basketball coach Will Wade had hoped would kickstart the season. And the signature high-intensity style, but it took a tragic turn before any player took the court. The 20-year-old Baton Rouge native, who has so often embodied the energy Wade wanted from all his players, would never again get to sport his number 44 jersey at the roar of a packed Pete Maravich Assembly Center. He would never again force a laugh from his teammates in the midst of a grueling workout. Everybody on the team loved him, Wade said Friday morning at a press conference. He was the team jokester, team prankster. He always had a smile and was bopping around. He got us going in practice. Wade canceled Friday's practice. Instead, the university provided grief counseling for Sims' teammates and friends. We're not going to worry about basketball right now, Wade said. We've got a lot bigger issues than basketball. Everybody grieves differently. We started the process this morning. We're going to continue it for as long as we need to. Early Friday morning, outside a fraternity party just off Southern University campus, an argument quickly turned into a fistfight, and just after midnight, one gunshot rang out. Baton Rouge Police Spokesman Sergeant LeJean McKinney said, "Sims fell, everyone ran." Later, Sims died at a hospital, McKinney said. An autopsy Friday determined Sims died of a gunshot to the head that traveled into his neck, said East Baton Rouge Coroner Dr. Bo Clark. Police responded to the shooting about 12:30 a.m. near a Subway restaurant in the 600 block of Harding Boulevard, about a block from Southern's A.W. Mumford Stadium. At least two bystanders caught the encounter on video, while both shared footage with police. No one had been arrested or taken into custody as of Friday evening. That's sad. Baton Rouge Police
released to the public online, released to the public one of the videos that captured the fight leading up to the shooting, hoping someone can identify individuals involved in the death. The video shows about 8 men in the street fighting. At one point, with 3 or 4 of them throwing punches until 2 men break from the group. Then the shot is fired. McKinney said investigators are specifically trying to identify and locate the individual who is seen toward the end of the video wearing red pants with the white stripe down one leg and a gray shirt. One of the 2 men is separated from the group right before the shot. McKinney identifies the other men separated from the group as sin. While McKinney said police are not yet considering the man with the white striped red pants as suspect in the slaying, he's considered their personal interest. At the time Sims fell, he was fighting this guy, McKinney said. We don't want to speculate, but that guy was up close, was in close proximity to him. Everybody else ran except from what we see him. Everybody else startled, took off running, but he didn't seem so surprised. That's why we're taking special interest in him. McKinney said they also wanted to identify the other men at the fight for question. He said the investigation until the shooting continues. 2 days earlier, Sims had joked with an advocate sports reporter about his new haircut. Toning down his look from last year and shared his excitement for the upcoming season. Wade had recently called him on 104.5 FM ESPN's Off the Bench, one of the most improved players coming out the summer, and Sims was ready to take on a new shooting guard spot instead of scraping through games at the small four. I like to play what the team needs, he said. Sims had said, I truly do the best I can do to help the team win. The former standout at University High, Sims was entering his third season at LSU. 6'6" forward, he averaged 5.6 points and 2.6 rebounds per game this past season with 10 starts and 32 games. Sims was majoring in sports administration. Sims was the 2014-2015 Louisiana Gatorade Player of the Year at U-High, where he led the Cubs to three straight state titles from 2014-2016. Wade Sims' father, Wayne, also played forward on the LSU basketball team from 87-91 under Coach Dale Brown. Man, this is sad. This is sad. Gotta find a better way to exist. We have to find a better way to exist. This is not the way to exist. This is not the way to exist. This is not the way to exist. I wish I could go into people's brains, physically remove crazy shit out of their brains, and re-implant good shit. Man, you know, sad to hear stuff about this. So we're going to take a moment of silence, right? We're taking a moment of silence for Wade Sims, starting now. Senseless violence causing our men to not exist, and even starting to trickle into our women. But senseless violence. We have to find a better way to exist. Like, whoever pulled the trigger, fuck what, man, y'all. Like, take your weapon like a man. First of all, find a better way to solve the problems. But if you're gonna fight, fight. Damn, dog, y'all ain't gotta be shooting and jumping. Shooting and jumping, people, that's gay, man. That's soft. My condolences goes out to Wade Sims, his family, friends, teammates, and everybody else. So, all right. Time for my weekly rant, and it's mostly aimed at Conor McGregor, but I got to give Habib his shit too.
So, MMA fight last Saturday. So, leading up to the fight, why I'm not all the way mad at Khabib is because Conor McGregor deserved to get his ass fucked up. See, Conor McGregor is under the impression that any publicity is good publicity. And so Conor McGregor feels that he should be able to say whatever and do whatever. Because you got to remember, even before the stuff that led up to this fight here, remember that this, the immediate stuff that led up to the fight, Conor McGregor flew over to the United States from Ireland, wherever the fuck he's from. And they attacked people, bus, and people got injured. Conor McGregor on some thug shit. Right? And then, leading up to this fight, Conor McGregor talk about this man's father, talking about his family, talking about his religion. Conor McGregor just talking, yapping his mouth. Yap, 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 yap. Talking. Just doing whatever he can to disrespect Khabib Nurmagomedov. Nurmagomedov. I practiced his name a couple days ago. That's why I can say Nurmagomedov. But Khabib Nurmagomedov, he actually beat Conor McGregor in the fight. So this is how shit went crazy. So Khabib, he was able to got McGregor in one of them chokes and was able to make Conor McGregor tap out. And he said that he was going to make Conor McGregor tap because, you know, in MMA, it's one thing to knock somebody out, but it's another thing to make somebody tap out. You make somebody tap out, you know, I done bitched you up, I done signed you. I'm your father. I birthed you. You know what I'm saying? I'm your daddy. I made you tap out. Right? So he said, man, I'm going to make Conor McGregor soft-ass tap out. So what did he do? He made Conor McGregor soft-ass tap out. Now, Conor McGregor is 2-2 since returning back to the MMA. So he done got his ass twice since the Floyd Mayweather thing, or even his last four fights, rather, I should say that, because I'm sitting here talking like I'm really caught up on the MMA like that. I ain't really caught up on the MMA like that. But, you know, Conor McGregor is caught up. Well, I'm caught up, but Conor McGregor lost this fight. He was choked out by Khabib Nurmagomedov. Right? So, after the fight, Khabib, all jacked up, excited, crazy shit, he jumped over the cage and jumped into the crowd and just kicking and busting Conor McGregor team in the face. So it's a fight brawl. Oh, they're fighting in the crowd. Oh, my God. They fight. Oh, my shit. And I'm going to put the video in the post, in the show notes and everything, on the website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Make sure you click on the tab that says Freedom Train. Then under that, the sub tab under that, you see the Fix Season 3. Bam, you click on the Fix Season 3, you see Episode 7, because this is Episode 7. And then you're going to see, when you see the post, you'll see I put the video of the brawl. But, they fight. And then Conor McGregor them in the ring. Then some of Nurmagomedov people start throwing them hands on Conor McGregor. Ba 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 ba. I'm saying, dude, another dude jumped over the gate. Ba 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 ba. Gave Conor a little four piece. Whatever. Which for them dudes was soft as shit though. That was soft because Conor McGregor already gassed from a full fight. So you don't get no points for swinging on some dude who's already gassed and been choked out from a full fight, right? So, but that's what this is, the blah, 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 blah. Everybody fighting, they hold people back, punch and fight. And so it turned into an ugly scene for UFC because it ended in a brawl. But I'm looking at Nurmagomedov like, bruh, you got to have more motherfucking self-control. But at the same time, I ain't mad at him. Because Conor McGregor earned everything Nurmagomedov gave him. Conor McGregor is a first-class fuckboy. Conor McGregor, he knows he's on his last leg, and Conor McGregor is about doing anything he needs to do to stay relevant. Because he got ego issue. He got a huge ego, but low self-confidence. You know, there's a lot of people, Kanye West, out there with low self-confidence and huge egos. They really care what other people think about them. And Conor McGregor is just a crazy motherfucker, too, right? So he gets, Conor, come on, you. The tactics that you took leading up to this fight is straight bitch made, Conor McGregor. Straight bitch made. It is, man. And man, if you hear this, you get mad at me. Hey, I ain't no MMA fighter. That's all I'm going to say. That's the only thing I'm going to say. We know you can fight better than me. You trained. I ain't no MMA fighter. You can get mad, but you shouldn't have did what you did. I'm just telling you what you did. I'm just calling it out. Conor McGregor's tactics was straight bitch, man. Conor McGregor's fake-ass Floyd Mayweather. But he takes stuff above and beyond. It need to be taken because Conor McGregor is the type of person who would do anything they need to do to be relevant and famous, because Conor McGregor feels that he deserves to be relevant and famous, and Conor McGregor don't deserve shit. Even though Conor McGregor is a good fighter. You know, leading up to this, Conor McGregor, we're doing the thing. Conor McGregor been getting his ass whipped. You know, in UCF, it's like, or any full contact sport like boxing and UFC and stuff like that. Like, you know, once you get your ass whipped, knocked out and stuff like that, to be able to come back and still be a champion or still be good and relevant, that's a feat. That is a feat. But you know, it's people. But Conor also draws the largest ticket because people are interested in what he's doing. So Dana White and them and everybody mad, they're going to do fines, and they didn't want to give Khabib his belt, and they haven't released the checks and all those things. They want to do fines and all that stuff. That. But like somebody said when I was watching the little videos earlier, UFC is going, they're not happy about this, but they're also going to use this to market future fights. Especially if these two dudes fight again, they're going to use this incident to market the fight. All right. So let's, like, it's a violent sport, and violence begets violence. I'm just saying. It's fighting. That's what you do. You got a fighting sport, ultimate fighting championship. Right? So, I mean, yeah. But at the same time, Khabib, come on, B. Come on, B. Khabib. You can't be jumping over goddamn fences. You can't be jumping over the goddamn octagon, jumping in the goddamn crowd after you just won, because you're mad about what Conor McGregor was saying after you just whooped his ass, though. Like, you did just choke Buddy out. So since you did just choke Buddy out, you ain't really have to do that. But I mad, man. But the rant, I have to rant on you because your actions were uncalled for, uncouth. I ain't gonna say out of character because I don't know you like that, but it was something that could have been avoided. It was something that didn't need to happen. It didn't have to happen, and you allowed it to happen. You happened, and that's not cool. So many people could have got hurt behind your actions and inability to control yourself as a grown-ass fucking man. I understand Buddy talked about your daddy. I understand he talked about your religion. I understand he talked about you from A to Z, up, down, left, right, top, front, back, all that shit. I understand all that. But as a grown man, your actions could have put more people in danger than was. Your actions could have got a lot of people hurt. So I got to call you a football on this. Got to call you a little football on that, because you could have got a lot of people hurt, because it could have been worse. It could have turned into an all out melee across everything. Everybody fighting and stuff. It could have turned into all of that. It could have been all of that. Khabib, you want to think about that because you acting like a jacked up white dude. I'm mad. And you can't operate like that. I understand Conor McGregor's a fuck boy. I understand that. Conor McGregor know he a fuck boy. He know he a fuck boy. He know that. But at the same time, your actions, like I said, could have got so many people hurt. That's not how you operate.
I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry I did that. Bitch, you can keep your I'm sorry. You can keep that. No, what happens is you sorry that your ass got caught. Even though you're going to get caught because, hey, you're in front of everybody. I'm sorry. Everybody, nah, dog. Be sorry before it happens. You could have handled that a different way. You could have been like, hey, man, Conor McGregor, bitch, I beat his ass. And if he want to fight again, I beat his ass again. You could have did some shit like that. But nah, you want to turn into super motherfucker. Jump off the goddamn top of the goddamn octagon and jumping and kicking people in the face and shit. Could have got so many people hurt being an emotional little fuck boy. So, man, you know what I'm talking about, man. I just, Conor McGregor and Khabib Nurmagomedov. Both of y'all, man, both of y'all part of this rank. Both of y'all did some whole ass shit, man. Both of y'all did some whole ass shit. And I got to call it out. Just straight being me, being who I am. Calling it down the middle. Straight up, you know, not being biased. I ain't nobody's friend. But what I am saying is y'all got to do better than that. Y'all got to do better than that. And, you know, we all know how it goes. Y'all white dudes, so, you know. But still, Conor McGregor, you's a bitch. Khabib Nurmagomedov, you fucked up. Both of you bitch boys need to grow the fuck up. If you can't handle your emotions in a better way, y'all asses don't need to be in the fighting sports. Fuck out of here. Now, I just want to say before I close the show out, I'm the UFC fighter, Derek Lewis. I am a new fan of his. He gave the realest interview I've ever, not in a good sense, but in a real nigga sense. You know what I'm talking about? Shit, my nigga dog, you know what I'm talking about, dog? And he was just in there, that's how he was sounding. He told everybody, man, Donald Trump called me earlier today, told me I got to beat his ass and all that stuff. USA up in there, ho. Oh, yeah, man, you cool ass. We going to go smoke some weed. Like, it was a very hilarious, funny interview. UFC fighter named Derek Lewis. If you don't know about him, go check him out. Check out his video of his last knockout with a white boy. He's like, man, I ain't in shape. None of that shit. Duck up. You know what I'm talking about? Shit, my nigga, we could smoke some weed, though. USA up in there, ho. So go follow him. He on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. He's on Instagram at The Beast of UFC. The Beast of UFC. Follow him on Instagram. But also, follow your homeboy. I got my own Instagram, The Real Joseph Ward. Yep, that is me. It's The Real Joseph Ward. So, JOSEPHWARD, The Real Joseph Ward. Follow your homeboy on Instagram. Follow me on Twitter at JoeWard84. You know, follow the Freedom Train on all platforms, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, Instagram, all those at Freedom Train Network, Twitter, not Twitter. On Twitter, we're in Freedom Train is Freedom Train Net, but everything else is Freedom Train Network. So holla at us, holla at your boy. You got any comments, concerns, questions, whatever, at Joe Ward 84 on Twitter. The Real Joseph Ward on Instagram. Follow your boy. Holla at your boy. I like black women, and I'm single. So, yeah. And I'm a good dude, man. I ain't no fuckboy. As y'all can see, I go hard against fuckboys. Because if I was to ever be a fuckboy, my daddy and my mama swang on me. Because neither one of them raised no fuckboys. You know what I'm talking about? So, I appreciate y'all supporting your homeboy. I appreciate y'all supporting the Freedom Train Podcast. The Freedom Train Network, the Freedom Train Podcast Series, all the podcasts that's on. Shout out to my man, Enigma September and Enigma Sep Hour. Shout out to my man, Donnell Durden, with the Block and Nickel Money Party. Shout out to Patrick Irvin with Lessons from the Screen. Shout out to everybody, Professor Carl Tone Jones. Oh, yeah, make sure y'all stay tuned because the
the Independence Day Project 2 coming soon. Remember, my book, my third book, this is the third installment of the On the Shoulders of Giants series, On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 3, South America. It's coming real, real, real soon. I got my cover done, so, man, I feel good about it. I'm an author. I'm a real author. I put time into my craft and my work. I need y'all to go get me and support your homeboy, because this book is a bestseller. I'm saying it now. This book is a bestseller. On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 3, South America is a bestseller, and I thank all of you ahead of time for helping me make my book a bestseller. I thank all of you ahead of time for helping me make my book a bestseller. I love y'all, man. I really love y'all. I love what I do. I love podcasting. I just love everything about this. This is the Fix Sports Podcast. I'm Joseph Ward. We out of here. Blow!
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack.
Gonna rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Air Force. There's no one that can match me.